Hilldale, Utah, November 25th, 1986. Rachel, Becky, come here. Father was standing next to the prophet's casket at the front of the meeting house. The prophet was Leroy Johnson, the leader of the Fundamentalist Church of Latter-day Saints, FLDS, and the only man on earth worthy of receiving the word of God, but we knew him as Uncle Roy. My sister Becky and I walked over to the casket. Our father was Warren Jeffs, and he was the principal of our church school. Father took one of our little hands in each of his, and we held on tight. I had just turned 3 years old, and Becky was 2 months younger than me. Our mothers, Father's first two wives, were sisters, and had been pregnant with Becky and me at the same time. "Can we get these girls a stool so they can see?" Father asked one of Uncle Roy's wives standing in line, waiting to pay their respects to Uncle Roy. I could hear people crying. A lady with gray hair brought over a small yellow stool and placed it in front of the casket. Father helped me up onto it first. I had never seen a dead person before. I looked inside the coffin, curious and frightened, at the withered, pale figure lying there. He didn't look at all like the bald man with the benevolent smile I'd only seen in pictures. He was so very old, and his face looked white and fake. He had been sick for a long time. I hadn't met Uncle Roy while he was alive, but I knew he had been the leader of the church since before my father was born. Father leaned into me, put his mouth next to my ear, and quietly said, "Uncle Roy was the greatest man on earth. Rachel, I want you to never forget what a privilege it is that you have seen the prophet." The most important rule in the FLDS religion is this: never question the prophet. Even after Uncle Roy's death, Father continued to read his sermons to us every day at 6 a.m. before breakfast. Before we did anything else at all, in fact. These readings were considered vital to our spiritual growth. Uncle Roy's teachings were very specific. People in our church should conduct themselves with humility and obedience to the church, to our parents, to our husbands. Women had to wear long dresses with sleeves to their wrists and skirts to their ankles. Boys should not so much as touch a girl's arm before marriage. The prophet determined who and when a person should marry. With Uncle Roy's passing, my paternal grandfather, Ruland T. Jeffs, assumed the mantle of prophet of the FLDS. While Grandfather Ruland was still alive, Father preached to us about the prophet from the stand at the meeting house and from his living room chair almost every day. "God and the prophet do right," Father said. Being the descendant of a prophet made you something like royalty in the FLDS. I and some of my siblings had prophet blood on both sides of the family. Uncle Roy had been the prophet since 1949, 3 years before declaring our church a completely separate entity from the Church of the Latter-day Saints in Salt Lake City, commonly called the Mormon Church. Before that schism, our church had considered itself a subsidiary of the main church in Salt Lake. But in truth, Uncle Roy's declaration was kind of a formality. Our people had already been excommunicated from the traditional LDS church back in 1935 for refusing to give up polygamy. In those days, the prophet had been John Y. Barlow, whose older brother, Ianthus Barlow, was my maternal great-grandfather. Ianthus left the church when his brother became the prophet because he didn't want to follow his younger brother. But Ianthus continued to practice and teach his family to live polygamy. More than 4 decades later, in 1978, Ianthus's son, Isaac Barlow, my mother's father, rejoined the church with his family. By then, Uncle Roy was the prophet. The Barlows stayed for only a few years, but it was long enough for Isaac's daughter, Annette, and 3 years later his daughter, Barbara, to marry a young school teacher named Warren Jeffs. Both girls were 17 years old at the time of their weddings.